Hello, world. Welcome back to my one-person podcast, The Bible Abridged. Today's episode is brought to you by Mother's Little Helper. It's a hangover pill that actually fucking works. If you want a free sample, just email your mailing address to motherslittlehelpersample@gmail.com, as long as you're in the U.S. That's motherslittlehelpersample@gmail.com, as long as you're in the U.S. Anyways, now on to the Bible. So today we start 2 Samuel, bearing in mind that Samuel died about halfway through the first half of the last book, 2 Samuel 1. So the story starts out about 3 days after David slaughtered all his Amalekites and didn't let a single one escape, except the 400 that escaped. A man showed up in Ziklag and told David he just escaped an Israelite camp. David demanded to know what happened with Saul and Jonathan and everyone else. The man said, "The soldiers were all retreating and fleeing the battlefield. Most of them died. Saul and Jonathan are dead. I know this because I'm the one who fucking killed him." Now let's back up here. Last episode ended with Saul committing suicide by falling on his sword, so he wouldn't get raped to death by all the uncircumcised Philistines. And then his armor-bearer killed himself too, because that's what you do in that situation. Now this gentleman, who was an Amalekite, those people David just slaughtered a large chunk of, said, "I was on Mount Gilboa. Saul was leaning on his spear and said, 'Hey, come here and kill me.' So I did." David and his men tore off their clothes and wept and fasted and mourned his old gay lover and his dad who'd been trying to kill him for the last few years. After the sun went down, David went back and asked the guy, who was just chilling there the last few hours, "Why weren't you afraid to kill the man that God put in charge?" And before the guy could answer, David had one of his men just fucking kill this guy right where he stood. What a fucking roller coaster of the last few hours of life, man. What's wild is I don't think this guy was even telling the truth. Like, the last story very clearly said Saul killed himself. So was this guy trying to just get some recognition? Was he one of those people who just starts lying when they get nervous? Did he maybe think that he had killed Saul and he just killed some other random guy? I don't know, man. But I doubt he expected that last part. Naked men crying for hours, one question, and boom, you're dead. David sang a song for Saul that went like this. A deer died. Saul was that deer. Don't tell the Philistines, though. I don't want them to celebrate with their gross penises that look different than mine. Oh, Mount Gilboa. I hope it doesn't rain there for a while, because Saul hadn't been taking care of his shield properly. Saul and Jonathan were swifter than eagles and stronger than lions, but apparently not strong and swift enough to stay alive. Israelite women wear some scarlet cloths and jewelry when you mourn Saul." And this last part's actually verbatim. "I grieve for you, Jonathan, my brother. You were very dear to me. Your love for me was wonderful, more wonderful than that of a woman." So I was always taught that they were just good friends. 2 Samuel 2. Well, David, after an unspecified amount of time, asked God if he should head back to Judah. God said, "Sure." David was like, "Okay, where should I go?" And God was like, "I don't care. Hebron? So David grabbed his two wives and his ragtag army of miscreants and their families and headed to Hebron, where they dumped oil all over his head. After this happened, messengers started going all over the place to let people know that David was the new king. Old Oily Dave, they called him. The problem was that Saul's general, who miraculously survived that war, had declared Ish-bosheth, one of Saul's surviving sons, as the new king. Which would make sense, I suppose, and that's usually how kings become kings. So Israel and everywhere else followed Ish-bosheth, but Judah, where Hebron was, stayed loyal to David. This started a civil war between Judah and Israel. So at some point, Abner and his men were walking down the street or dirt path or whatever, and they ran into Joab, who was David's nephew and also a commander in his army, along with Asahel, who was Joab's brother, and apparently as fleet-footed as a gazelle. It says that in there. I didn't just make that up. So they decided the best course of action would be to have 12 of their best fighters from each side fight each other. It was so perfectly matched that every single person stabbed their opponent at the exact same time, and every single fucking person delivered a fucking kill. All 24 men just fucking died right there. And that's why they call that place Helkath Hazurim, which means the Field of the Dagger. So if you're walking around in Israel and you suddenly come across a place called Helkath Hazurim, now you know why it's called that. Because 24 soldiers all stabbed each other at the same fucking time and died right there on the spot. Well, this situation didn't end right there, as it ever does. It turned into a full-blown battle, and the soldiers serving under Joab and his gazelle-like brother Asahel just fucking wiped the floor with Abner's men. When Abner decided to get the hell out of there, him and his men ran as fast as they could back to Israel. Asahel, being as fleet-footed as a gazelle, as mentioned before, decided to track them down. And Abner had a feeling he was being followed and called Asahel out by name. Well, Asahel refused to stop pursuing him, and Abner even gave him multiple chances to go and fuck up one of his other men and just stop fucking with him in general. But Asahel kept his eyes on the prize. And this is what happens sometimes when you keep your eyes on the prize. The prize stabs you and you fucking die. That's what happened here anyways. Abner put his fucking spear through Asahel's body, and Asahel just fucking died right then and there. What Abner didn't know was Joab and his army were following Asahel, and they caught up to him. When Abner saw Joab, he said, "This has gone on long enough. How much longer will you let your men pursue their fellow Israelites?" And that was all it took. Joab blew a trumpet, his troops stopped pursuing Abner's troops, and they just marched through the night back to Hebron. When they got back to Hebron, which is a mountain city, by the way, and those are famously hard to conquer, Joab started assembling an army. They did a quick count, and from that whole squabble, Joab had lost 20 men, one being his brother, and Abner lost 360. 2 Samuel 3. Well, the civil war just kept going on and on, but it was looking more and more clear of who was going to win the damn thing. Every battle that was fought made David's side just a little bit more strong, and Ishbosheth's side just a little bit weaker. Throughout the course of all this, David had a shitload of sons with a shitload of women. 6 sons from 6 different women, like some BCE version of Nick Cannon. So they were, in order of birth, Amnon, Kileab, Absalom, Adoniah, Shephatiah, and Ithream. And you already know none of them amounted to much, because even the most educated, you probably only recognize one of those names, Absalom. For the rest of you, not a single one. Well, Abner was, as you might have been able to tell from previous stories, a pretty good general and a pretty smart man. He was the only thing keeping Ishbosheth alive and in any kind of power in the first place. Ishbosheth was not a smart man and started accusing Abner of fucking his dead dad's sex slave. Now, it's neither here nor there if Abner was fucking Saul's old sex slave, and it certainly isn't clear why Ishbosheth chose this hill to literally die on, but this pissed Abner off so much that he went right over to David and told him, "I'm on your side now." So David said that was all good and fine, but Abner had to prove his loyalty by getting David his old wife Michal back. David, who had at least 2 wives and had just had 6 kids with 6 women, 5 of whom were not those wives, had one demand, and that was to pluck a woman he'd once known out of her home and add her to his collection. In his defense, he did say, "I paid 100 carved up dick skins for her." Even though the story clearly said he carved up 200 dicks, which asked the question, what did he do with the other 100 dick skins? Did he buy something else that isn't mentioned here? Were people using enemy dick skins as currency? Either way, Abner went and snatched Michal out of her home, surprising the hell out of her and her husband. Her husband followed Abner for miles and miles, just crying and weeping. Abner took pity on him and, nah, just kidding. He told him to get the fuck out of there. After handing David his first wife back, Abner went and spread the word that David was king now and had a feast at David's house. All this time, Joab and his soldiers were out raiding villages because they were the good guys of the story. They raided and raided and came back with a shitload of plunder. And when Joab found out that Abner was around, he had him kidnapped and murdered, which is the kind of thing you do in a civil war to the opposing side, if you had the capability to do it, especially when that guy killed your brother. Well, David was so mad at Joab for this that he made Joab and his men all wear burlap sacks, and he said, "I hope at least one member of your family has leprosy, and I hope at least one more is crippled, and one gets murdered, and one starves forever. I hope that forever at least 4 people in your family at any given time go through this shit." And then he sang a song for Abner. "Should Abner have died like an outlaw, he wasn't bound up." And that was the whole song. And then David refused to eat anything until the sun went down, so everyone would know that he had nothing to do with Abner's death. And that is that. Check back soon for more of the story of King David. And while you're waiting for the new content, check out a free sample of these hangover pills, Mother's Little Helper Sample at gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening.